what cracked me up was the people who not only they, because we had a limit of 3 books per person, we had people went and changed clothes and came back trying to fool us and pretend they were somebody else because they wanted more books. All right, Dale. Yeah.
And, but Barbara, you know, we really appreciate though everyone's thirst for knowledge and the thirst for the books. That you know, that
what this
activation is all about. It's about having the opportunity for our Gen Zs and our young millennial to actually interact with people, so that they can fight back against the stereotype that that Latinos or African Americans don't want books and don't want to read and don't want to be active in their community. And that's what this was really designed to do. You know, Angel Edwards, you know, I've got to ask you, you know, you went through all of these different panels through the training process. Was there any one moment or any one panel that really stood out in your mind?
Absolutely. The Arizona voting rights under attack panel, where Gabriela Cortez Kelly challenged us to change the culture of voting.
Wow.
She reminded us that the unknown is what makes you hesitant. And she challenged us to stop shaming people and belittling people for not being involved in it, and to changing it to, hey, you missed out. I think she explained beautifully her role of Pima County Records, a recorder, so well that I actually looked into the career myself. So that one definitely stuck out to me the most.
Wow.
And
she is amazing.
She was, Barbara. She was just an incredible deliverer of the message and the information. And Gisela Alvazores, the same question of you. Was there a particular panel or a particular moment in the panel discussions that stood out for you?
Absolutely. So I would say the environmental injustice panel, especially learning about specific terms that I work in that role with the environment with my nonprofit work, but learning about sacrifice zones, as well as learning about what impacts Native American communities, other minority communities within Arizona, was extremely impactful.
Oh, tell people, go, let's use this as a teaching moment. Tell people about sacrifice zones.
Of course. So sacrifice zones, it basically means the zones that are used within these underrepresented communities where they're impacted the most. And basically they use these communities to target different like environmental hazards are put there. So it's basically those communities that are like least represented.
And they're willing to sacrifice the people who live there, their health, their future, the sanctity of their homes, everything. They're willing to sacrifice them for industrial or other reasons. In fact, one of the people on the panel spoke to us, and he was fighting and has been, you know, struggling and overcoming cancer caused by the radiation from the testing that was done by the U.S. military in Nevada, correct?
Yeah. Elder Tully, Earl Tully. Just also when Elder Tully was sharing with you, and he's Native American, about, you know, how he was impacted by the uranium digs and everything else that were happening around the Nevada area, and how it traveled and infected the waters. And he himself ended up with cancer. Was that impactful at all to you?
Absolutely. It just reminded me that the work that I do now, like in the community within Tallahassee, it strengthened sort of also my vision for the future and the career that I want to do, to help these people against these injustices.
Wow. And you know, Sadija, we kicked it off with this movie, you know, to sort of lay the groundwork. Can you share with us, when you had a chance to watch the movie Vigilante? Vigilante. You know, was that impactful for you? Were you anticipating this? Did it kick off the training session the right way, Sadija?
Yes, definitely. I was not expecting to get so much in a condensed version of the film. I text my friends who are lawyers, and I'm like, hey, I know I say this every 6 months, but I think I want to go to law school. the movie made you think about just like every election that you've participated in or like have been young enough or old enough to watch play out. So just to see, for example, I live in Georgia, to see Kemp's campaign and how before I moved to Georgia, I didn't know much about him or what was going on in politics here, to see how much they can write their own narrative and kind of change history. And if you're not well-informed, you can fall for the misinformation that's given to you through the media, which brings me to a point about one of the panels we talked about, how to make sure that voters are getting correct information, whether it's about their polling places, whether it's about the candidates and the issues themselves, whether it's about what's actually on the ballot, making sure that we're fighting to dismantle any misinformation and make sure that we have accurate representation and a strong voter turnout.
Amen. And Daryl, I mean, just today we just read a horrible editorial from the Brunswick News defending everybody listening, defending voter challenges. Voter challenges is where you just send in a list of people and say, I think they shouldn't be allowed to vote because I believe they're not entitled to vote. You don't have to say anything else. Just their name, what you believe might be their address, and that will mean that that person's vote is not going to be accounted unless they can come in and go through a whole set of gyrations to prove that they are who they say they are. And the movie Vigilante talked about that, and Brunswick News had the nerve to set out an editorial saying, well, that's nothing but good electoral management. Are you kidding me? Purging people for no reason, challenging people for no reason. You know, everybody listening. TJC got a response for that. So get ready, Brunswick News. Are you bold enough to publish what we are going to say in response to your horrible op-ed?
Well, absolutely, Barbara. And, you know, and Angel, you know, one of the things that that I wanted to ask you is, was there something that you anticipated on happening at this training that went above and beyond your anticipation? Did your plans change? Did you came in thinking one thing, what you wanted to do? Did this training in any way alter what you want to do and what your plans are?
Absolutely, it did. I came in thinking I was going to have some resume building training where I was going to have a lot of information thrown at me, and I didn't expect that it would be more so career defining. Being 1 year post grad, it's really changed the way I viewed myself and the way I view my place in this fight for advancement. I always said that I'm just one of the million people that show up to help and support, and it's challenged me to really hone my leadership skills and to stop running from leadership and to take charge in my community, like the people that I work with have been begging me to do so. So I thank you guys for the opportunity.
Wow. And you are such a natural leader. I enjoy watching you the entire training and seeing how helpful and how directive you are. That is so powerful to hear, Daryl.
Wow. And I've got to ask you, Pastor Brown, you know, we did there was a panel that was on the disability community and voters that were from the challenge communities. And there was some information that was shared from Keith Jones, one of the panelists on there. That information, could you share what you learned from Keith Jones, and did it make blinders fall off with regards to your viewing and understanding of those with physical disabilities and voting?
Absolutely. Actually, that was going to be the panel that I said was one of my most impactful, because what I recognize is from that panel, our blind spots often leave communities voiceless. And to hear the passion, hear the testimony, hear the education that the two groups that were paired were those that are experiencing disabilities and those that are experiencing incarceration or previously experienced it. Those are two blind areas to most of us. I can tell you it's a blind area for me, knowing that they're there but not necessarily thinking of their rights to vote. And so after Brother Keith shared his testimony, it was so powerful, even to see him emotionally sharing, vulnerably sharing, it awakened my sense to come back home and seek out those organizations that work with that those communities and see what I can do to better advocate and pick up what Reverend Jackson would call the stones on the ground when it comes to voting.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that some more, Reverend Chauncey. What in particular will change about the way that you're going to do voting rights outreach and programmatic operations post hearing the mighty, mighty compelling presentation by Keith Jones?
Well, absolutely. While we're I have the blessed privilege of working within the Rainbow Push Coalition and now with the Transformative Justice Coalition. So I believe civics education surrounding elections is going to be essential in ensuring that we're inclusive in the way that we train. Because I've sat in civics classes. I can't tell you I've sat in many where our disabled communities or our incarcerated communities are even mentioned. And to hear Brother Keith share his testimony of how polling places often are not accessible for those with disabilities, and to hear some of the oppressive acts that he experienced in his circumstance, it took my heart to the space of, I can't just claim I see, but now I have to act on what I see and what I hear. And now I have a responsibility, it's a burden of mine, to ensure in our civics education classes that we're gathering at the Rainbow Push Coalition and even through our church, that those are two areas that we must wake up the blind spots in most humans.
And Sadija, the same question of you. You know, there was a lot that was being shared in both that environmental panel as well as the panel dealing with those with disabilities and those that are unhoused. Were those panels impactful on you? Did you just stop for a moment and say, "What in the world? Why didn't I ever know this? Why didn't I ever think about this?"
Yeah, definitely. So. For both panels, talking about disabilities as well as being unhoused, it highlighted a lot of the issues that a lot of people face. And then to Reverend Brown's point, like, we may not think of them because they're not things that affect us on a daily basis, right? So one of those things is like how people in Oregon have to vote by mail. And he mentioned in the panel that, like, what if you can't walk to your mailbox, or what if you don't have a mailbox because you are unhoused? So those things are, like, disparities that we see in the community and things that we it's a call to action for us to fix. To the point of being unhoused, and even those living in shelters or other group places, they've been told that, you know, I can't get an ID or I can't do X, Y, and Z because too many people live at this address or have used this address for government assistance programs like SNAP, benefits, et cetera. So that highlighted that. And then to the environmental justice piece, I'm from Louisiana and live right on Cancer Alley in Baton Rouge. So to hear about the environmental justice issues that we face definitely charged me to get more involved and contact organizations like the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice, to do some work with my nonprofit in Louisiana with environmental justice. And then to the incarceration piece, it also ignited some fire in me to help get those who have lost their voting rights to have them restored and get more training and information on felony restoration. Louisiana is a state where as long as you're off probation and have completed your sentencing,